News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. Yeah, the weather's beautiful, but that has not kept people necessarily safe on the road this morning. Westbound Bayway and Causeway, both in pretty much a mess much of the morning.
Yeah, and the reports there were an overturned vehicle in that accident on the Causeway. Yeah. Hopefully everyone ends up being as safe as possible in that one. But yeah, I guess a little fog this morning also causing some issues. But other than that, weather, you couldn't really ask for better weather as we take tonight off, but after tonight, straight through into Fat Tuesday and then Ash Wednesday that follows, really nice weather for the parades this week.
Yeah, it looks like tomorrow is going to be a transitional day with the front coming through, so it might be a little cloudy, and then the weather's going to get really nice Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday and Tuesday, Doc says maybe a slight chance of any shower activity, but not anything like a washout or anything close to that. And by the way, we're going to be in the parade on Saturday.
Yeah, the floral parade and the Joy of Life, I guess, section of that parade will be rolling in, as just as we've done for the last several years. And I'm excited about it. We're going to have the kids out there, so this will be the first parade they've participated in. And I don't know
Have they been to a parade?
They have, okay. But not a Mobile parade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did Gulf Shores Cane Day last year. I think it was Joe Cane Day. It might have been the Saturday parades last year. But yes, this will be their first Mobile parade, and they'll be participating. And I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah,
but it could be a fun time.
I think they're going to get a little tuckered out by the whole thing on being on the in the parade. It's a little intense.
Yeah,
you know, if you take it personally, like people are screaming at you to throw them something. If you're a little one, you might take all that the wrong way.
Have I told the story about my first parade?
No.
I've told you. I don't know if I've said it on the air. So when my family moved down to Grove Hill, right, and I was 9 or 10, and they had the Christmas parade. And
I was the hamburger.
Yeah. That's right. So my parents had two of the McDonald's franchises, one in Jackson and one in Thomasville, up in Clark County, and we moved to Grove Hill, equidistant between the two.
Got it.
And first Christmas parade, and I can't remember if it was Jackson or Thomasville, but we were at that point, and remember, I'm 9 or 10. We had yet to have our first Mardi Gras. Right, we hadn't come down for the Mardi Gras parade, but
right.
We had Christmas because we got here in like September. Christmas parade was in December,
right?
And Dad loaded up the flatbed, put us all on there. Maybe three boxes of McDonald's cookies that would be in the Happy Meals, you know?
Yeah,
totally unprepared for what the crowd would be asking for, okay. Because this crowd in Thomasville or Jackson, wherever it was, were totally Mardi Gras,
yeah.
Right? Even though it was a Christmas parade. So they were throwing me something, mister.
You
they were
owed them.
Screaming,
yeah.
Yelling.
Yeah.
The three boxes or whatever we had of cookies, not nearly enough to get us through the parade. And I was dressed as Hamburglar. Because of my height, we decided that was the best character for me to dress up as. And there was like a catalog you could order the outfit from, and you just send it back like a Tails rental for a ball. So anyway, I'm Hamburglar with this big old plastic head, and I don't know if the crowd was upset with us because of our lack of throws. Again, misjudged how many we would need, but they started throwing throws from the crowd at me, trying to hit my big old plastic head. So I don't. When you wore like a football helmet, did you ever have a coach or somebody smack you with a whistle or something on the helmet?
I can't count the times.
And so it's kind of concussive, right? When something hits a big helmet or plastic head. So I was just getting peppered by the crowd as Hamburglar and just rocked over the head with all this candy that they had been thrown from. So that was my first, like, it wasn't a Mardi Gras parade, but that was kind of my first entry into the South Alabama parading lifestyle. As a 9-year-old dressed up like Hamburglar.
So, yeah, the couple of things. Not everybody understands that. Like, we moved here from Columbus, Georgia. There'd occasionally be a parade for whatever day, but in that parade, nobody was throwing anything at anybody.
Yeah.
It was just a parade. A parade, like you look at the parade. There's not an interaction between audience and those in the parade. And so, yeah, we quickly saw what was going on down here. Also, this is a conservative area of the country.
Mm.
Now, you're Hamburglar, so you're an indicted criminal.
Yeah, maybe people thought I was like a real guy. I was a criminal they were parading through the Christmas parade, literally parading me through the streets.
Yes, and so it's almost like the ire, you caught the ire of the crowd because they are...
They were out for blood.
Right, they're pro-gun.
Yeah.
They're anti-crime. And there you were, 10 years old, with a giant plastic head, trying to make your way through this parade. Of course, you were going to be in danger.
And I was, you know, just like a road sign, I was something to aim at. Right?
Yes.
So they just wanted to hit my big old head separately. And this is my last Hamburglar story.
Yeah.
Another time, I was out in front of one of the restaurants with the sign, walking up and down as Hamburglar. Guy flips me off. No reason. Just throws the bird. And that's when I realized why they make so many of these character costumes four-fingered. It's because you can't throw it back.
Yeah.
So I was looking for that. And I was, you know, this time I was like 11 and looking for the middle finger to throw it back.
Yeah.
Because he threw it to me for no reason. I'm just Hamburglar. I'm out there sweating, working. And then I look down. I have four fingers. Couldn't throw it back.
No way he would know that.
So there you go. But anyway, yeah, the parade. I'm hoping my girls aren't as traumatized by their first parading action as I was as the Hamburglar.
I'm serious when I say this. Just be careful and keep an eye on them because they might have a lot of fun, or they might, mid-parade, they could just tucker out. It's a long stretch.
Long stretch, yeah.
You wait and wait and wait. We leave at 12 o'clock. We're probably back at our cars by 2:30 or 3.
Yeah.
So
You're telling me to keep an eye out, but you're going to be on the float with me.
Yeah, so, I'll be there.
You know, I think some of this responsibility also lies on you.
Sure.
All right. Well, if you see us out at the parade on Saturday, make sure you shout, but not too loudly, because my girls, it's their first time.
Right, right. I mean, you got to be sensitive about that.
A lot to get to, and we will talk at some point this hour about the Veterans Bill. We'll talk with Pete Ream, hopefully get him on at 8:30.
I just feel like that was a big deal yesterday, and I've checked with a couple of sources this morning, and they're not quite sure that they see it that way. But when you have, there's 9 organizations in the state, right, that are recognized as veterans organizations, correct?
At least 9. There's many more than that, but as far as the board is concerned, I think 9. But so I might be off base on that.
They play a role with veterans statewide because they appoint
members to the board.
Right. So if 3 of those 9 have now suddenly said, we're okay with this amended bill, I think that is less pressure on lawmakers at this point. It seems to me, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's the VFW came out in support of the bill, AM Vets, and the American Legion. Those 3 came out yesterday publicly supporting the legislation. There was a fourth group, DAV, Disabled American Veterans, who were rumored to have also were set to come out in support, but they did not. This was an email that was leaked to 1819 News that showed these 4 organizations were going to come out in support of the bill. It ended up just being the 3, but Ivy announced that yesterday, and it came at the same time as veterans were protesting the bill in Montgomery. Some of the other same groups on that board. Pete Ream is in Montgomery still. We'll talk with him hopefully around 8:30. The sponsor of the House version of the bill, and he's also the chairman of the House Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, where this House version of the bill currently lies. He said he thinks it'll pass committee today with no amendments and could be voted on by the House next week. So
Ed Oliver is who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's from up in the
Dadeville.
Dadeville, above the above Lake Martin, I think is where that is, north of Lake Martin or right on the shore of Lake Martin on that side. And so he was on Jeff's show last week, and he caught our. Jeff says he's a good guy, and I'm sure he is. But he kind of caught our attention when he put the blame on the media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Jeff's been talking to these other media members or others around the state, they're barely even aware of this whole confrontation.
Yeah.
So the concern,
it seems like it's originated from Southwest Alabama.
Like us.
Yeah.
And Sean and Jeff and all that. And so it just kind of got our attention because we were listening pretty intently to that interview. And then he said, boy, everything would have been okay if the media hadn't stirred everything. And, you know, I just thought that was I thought he got it wrong. Now, whether he said it and he believed it or he said it just to say it because he wasn't putting down any veterans or veterans groups, you know, just go ahead and blame the media. That way you don't have to, you don't have your hands around the throat of actual Alabama veterans.
Right. Yeah. No. And it was,
you know, so that it's a convenient out is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you know, not to snitch, but it was the veterans who started this pushback against it.
Right.
Wasn't this station, it was through this station, veterans started having their voice heard. They didn't like this bill. Really, it started way before that with the disagreement between Ivy and Admiral Davis when we started really focusing in on this. So, like Quinn has said, like so many we've talked to, maybe this is a good bill. Maybe it, even though I would guess it's not because I've had so many veterans say it's not a good bill, but regardless of whether it is or not, trying to pass it so closely after the big disagreement last fall, it just hangs over it. So if you would have just waited 1 year, next year, it wouldn't be nearly as divisive. You would at least be having some sort of a conversation. But it has, I mean, where they were rumored to have be, you know, Monday, the rumors started coming out that they were going to maybe use law enforcement
against some
actions
of the
against some of the veterans who come out to protest.
Yeah.
I don't know where that rumor began or whether there was even any semblance of it possibly being true. But this has turned into, you know, a true, like, back and forth between the governor and veterans in the state. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, going up against veterans is not a political winner generally.
No.
But also, you know, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, I think, as someone who has a lot on the line over the next year and a half as he runs for governor, he put a lot on the line by endorsing the veterans who oppose this legislation.
Yeah,
he came out also in opposition. And then while we heard Senator Jones, who brought the bill to the Senate, and then House Representative Oliver, who brought the House bill, continue last week to push for the legislation, I didn't know whether Ainsworth would backtrack or change his mind. But remember, he doubled down.
He did.
So now that he's doubled down, if this bill sails through, you know, politically, how does that look for Ainsworth, a guy who is trying to, well, already has quite a bit of political capital, but trying to gain further capital as we head into the election that right now is his to lose heading into next year?
Yeah, unless Tubbs jumps in.
Unless,
right?
Tuberville or another big name jumps in.
You're right. And so Ainsworth, when he doubled down on that, Dalton, my thought was that this was really to set himself apart from other candidates for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I said it and I meant it. And I didn't say it in a whim, and I didn't say it in my dreams, and I didn't just babble it. No, this is what I think. And I think regardless of whatever veterans groups, whatever they do, like the three out of the nine that have now endorsed this bill, apparently, I think Ainsworth's going to be in really good standing with at least one group of Alabama voters, and that would be the veterans.
Yeah. Well, we'll dive in a little further with Pete Ream once he comes on. Also, want to get, if we can, quickly to the gold card. Did you hear the gold card announcement yesterday?
Yeah.
Want to know your thoughts on that on the text line.
You can come to America if you're worth $5 million.
Pay up.
Like,
right. And also, we continue to talk about the Russia-Ukraine negotiations.
So will the Statue of Liberty, will they change the text to bring us you're tired and you're unwashed and you're millionaire?
And you're rich. 820
like
Mobile Mornings rolls on right after this. Thank you, Kane. 824. Great time of the year in sports right now with basketball coming to an end and soon heading to conference tournaments. Then March Madness. You have NBA playoffs that'll be on the way.
Easter egg hunts. Can you
Easter
bet on that?
Easter egg hunts, yeah. Now, I don't think Easter egg hunts are on the Underdog Fantasy app, but
man,
every other sport just about is. And in Alabama, Underdog is available to play. It's what I've been telling people. I've been playing Underdog for quite some time now. It is legal in Alabama, and it is the best app you can get for daily fantasy. I love playing it every night. Underdog is one of the leading sports apps. You want to win up to 1,000 times your money? You can with Underdog Fantasy. To play, it's easy to make an entry. You just choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats, like points, assists, or rebounds, or whatever stat for whatever sport you're using here. You'll need at least two players from separate teams. It could be different sports. And once you have at least two players, you have an entry. But the more players you add, the more money you might win. And you could play with as little as $1. If you get everything right, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. So turn $1 into 1,000 just with your sports knowledge. Get started today. You'll be ready when March Madness and the NBA playoffs roll around. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up now using the promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. So join in on the fun. Underdog Fantasy app, promo code Dalton. And you must be 19-plus in Alabama and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Okay, so we're on the app. So that is that worldwide? I mean, I think back when Zach served and he was away, he could actually listen to me on the radio through the iHeart app. So can you listen to FM Talk 106.5 with the app nearly anywhere? I mean,
yeah, you can listen to the FM Talk 106.5 app wherever you are.
Let me drill down and then I'll let you continue with this thought. But we are trying to get the attention of very wealthy foreigners.
Oh,
and if you're a very wealthy foreigner and you're a fan of FM Talk 106.5, thank you first of all. And also, are you aware that you can buy your way into the United States of America? I guess you have to be vetted as well.
Yeah, starting very soon, you might be able to spend $5 million of your hard or not hard earned cash.
And this family money, I get it.
And get a green gold card.
Okay.
Trump unveiled this yesterday, new initiative, $5 million each, and wealthy foreigners would get a streamlined path to U.S. residency and citizenship. Now, it's interesting. So one of the categories of the green card privileges, like one of the categories in order to earn a green card, EB-5 is the Immigrant Investor Program, grants residency to foreign investors who create jobs, invest at least $800,000 to $1,050,000 in a U.S. commercial enterprise that creates jobs, depending on the location. So that's been a way that you could get a green card. And they're saying that's basically been used for fraud, is what Lutnick and Trump were saying last night.
Say again now. So they've used this in the past, but they haven't followed through with investing in America?
I'm not exactly sure. So Lutnick, when he was speaking yesterday in the Oval Office, Trump kind of turned to him and said, describe it a little further. So there's categories that you may be in as a foreigner to come in and get a green card, right? And I'm sure some folks listening have much more knowledge about this than I do. And then once you have that green card, your pathway to citizenship kind of begins, right? But one of the categories in order to earn a green card was the EB-5. And foreign citizens who invest at least $800,000 to $1,050,000 in a U.S. commercial enterprise that creates jobs, depending on the locations, were able to receive a green card. Lutnick said that category was more or less fraudulent. And I don't know, he didn't have any stats to back it up, but they're saying this is a much better way to earn money for America and have productive citizens come into our country. Here's what Trump had to say about it when he unveiled it yesterday.
We're going to be selling a gold card. You have a green card. This is a gold card. We're going to be putting a price on that card of about $5 million, and that's going to give you green card privileges plus. It's going to be a route to citizenship, and wealthy people will be coming into our country by buying this card. They'll be wealthy, and they'll be successful, and they'll be spending a lot of money and paying a lot of taxes and employing a lot of people. And we think it's going to be extremely successful. And never been done before anything like this, but it's something that we're going to be putting out over the next, would you say, 2 weeks out? You want to say?
So, 2 weeks is when he said they'll roll this out. And, it looks like they're just kind of repurposing another category, like we saw with Doge, which was the Office of Digital Services.
Yeah. I don't see the downside to this. I mean, if somebody is wealthy and they want to be here and they are going to produce for the United States economy, I mean, there may be a loophole here somewhere, but I don't see a downside, do you?
One of the downsides may be, I mean, people are going to say it's unfair, an unfair way to buy your citizenship, but others are saying, and I don't know if he alluded to this or if this was just theory, that Russian oligarchs may be using that to come into the U.S.
Oh,
I don't know. That's something they put out there.
Well, we're stacking up all their yachts down at Dauphin Island. Is that what you're saying? 8:30. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:35, Mobile Mornings. Beautiful morning after a beautiful day yesterday. Man, oh man, this weather is just great.
Mm-hmm. Also, lots of texts about Trump's new gold card initiative. We'll get to those before the hour is up. But right now, we'll turn back to state issues. And on the ground in Montgomery is Pete Rehm, a veteran of the year here in Mobile, and someone who's been keeping us up to date on everything involving this veterans bill that's already moved through the Senate and now sits in the House Committee of Veteran Affairs. Pete joins us this morning. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning from Montgomery. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Good.
So, just let us know. I know that you've been in Montgomery. You were there yesterday. There was a protest planned at the State House. How did the protest go yesterday?
It all went very well. I mean, it was attended by about 100-some veterans from all around the state. Sometimes they try to say, oh, this is just from South Alabama. That's not true. There were literally veterans from every part of the state. Over 100 showed up. We had about a 45-minute little program with several speakers, very motivating. And then all those veterans piled into the State House and went to visit their legislators to express their extreme displeasure with this bill.
I know that you had a chance to meet with Ed Oliver, who's co-sponsor of the bill, representative from Lake Martin area there. So anyway, so you had a meeting with him. Can you give us an idea what some of that conversation sounded like?
Yeah, one of the representatives, I can't remember his name, from the Muscle Shoals, he organized or arranged, rather, the meeting so we could meet with Ed Oliver, because he was thinking that maybe there's something we could talk about, maybe there's something we don't understand or they don't understand. And so we were very grateful. I wish I could remember his name, but he was from Muscle Shoals. Hmm. He arranged a meeting. We had a meeting, and there was several veterans in there from all over the state. There was about six of us that got in there, and we had a meeting, and it was cordial, but what I appreciate is they dropped the trying to fool us, because they didn't try to say, oh, but you don't know the bill. We got in there, and the long and the short of their discussion was, our key thing is that the State Board of Veterans Affairs must be left not only as it's currently configured, but it must be left with all of its power and oversight authority that it has had for the last 80 years. Okay, you got to have that. Well, that's one of their hard negotiating points. They want that gone.
Right.
The governor wants that gone. So we're sort of at an impasse right now. Now, they did say, we're going to slow it down a little bit and let's talk some more. I mean, they asked us for some suggestions. I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what we're suggesting, because what they want, what we want, are two complete opposites.
Completely right. Opposed.
I don't know if we can get there.
It's almost like there's really... a discussion is not going to help. What you want is
a hard no for them.
A hard no.
And and vice versa. Talking with Pete Rehm about this bill, and if you're unaware about this bill we've been discussing for some time, it would make the commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs a cabinet-level position, which would enable the governor to hire or fire that cabinet member on their own, rather than it being the Alabama board, the State Board of Veterans Affairs, who makes that call. They would instead, the board, become an advisory board. So, Pete, just quickly, before we get into these three organizations that reportedly support this legislation now, that announcement yesterday, how is this board, how it's been arranged and is arranged now before any changes are made, how many groups are a part of the State Board of Veterans Affairs, and how do they appoint members of the board?
Okay, right now there are 9 accredited agencies, meaning that they're federally accredited and their membership is known and verified. And there's a formula based on those 9 organizations and it's changed over the years. You know, World War II vets went away and Vietnam vets came in. All those things, it changes over the years as the organizations do. But based on their membership, they're allotted so many seats. So some have 1, some have 2, 3, right? And then they send 3 names, they nominate 3 names to the governor, and she appoints one of those 3 names to the board. That's how it's done. But what I want to give one quick example that really illustrates why the State Board of Veterans Affairs is so important, and it is to us in South Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
15 years ago, when we were in the cemetery fight, trying to get a national cemetery, and we couldn't get one, and we worked, we got the VA, the national VA, federal VA, to say they'll pay for one if we build a state cemetery. When that came up 15 years ago, the governor didn't support us, the legislature didn't support us, no political appointees support us, and even the then commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs opposed it. It was the State Board of Veterans Affairs that examined it, and they voted to override the commissioner and directed him to build that thing, that cemetery. If they had changed this before then, we would still not have a veteran cemetery in South Alabama.
Wow.
That's the best example to tell you why this is so important.
That's the one in Spanish Fort.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a great example.
I've been there, too. I've been there for services. Amazing
he
place.
He says beautiful. Yep. And so, yeah, that's a fantastic example. And this bill would make the board then an advisory board, so they would.
They couldn't have directed it. They could have protested and sent letters, just like I'm doing, walking around, you know, yelling in the wind. That's all they could have done because they have no force,
no authority
to tell anybody anything. But we did that. We do right now, and that's how we got our cemetery.
So now, though, yesterday they're saying three veterans groups, the VFW, AMVETS, and the American Legion, have come out in support of the bill. How does that change things? I know that Representative Oliver, he's also pointed to his military career as well, and they continue to say this is a good thing for veterans.
Okay. It's smoke and mirrors, and it's AstroTurf. And if you've been seeing it for the last 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks now, when this started, they were touting American Legion, VFW, and DAV, Disabled Vets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's who they were touting because they got the leadership in Montgomery, and I don't know what they did, but they had little meetings with them that we, the rest of us, were not invited to, the leadership. I don't know what went on, but they came out. Well,
yeah.
The DAV had figured out this is a bad bill, and you'll notice that when the press release came out yesterday, because I talked to the head of the DAV, or one of the heads, not the number one guy, but like number two guy, and they asked to be withdrawn from all that because they oppose the bill.
Okay.
Now. They
okay.
realize what's going on. They're the biggest in the state. So we are trying to get them to come out publicly opposed to it. And I will tell you, AMVETS is the smallest one. DAV is the biggest. And American Legion has got a civil war brewing in their ranks.
Yeah.
Because we went up there in American Legion bands from Mobile to oppose this bill.
Wow.
The posts around the state opposed this. The districts, both Mobile and Montgomery, had district meetings last Sunday, and they overwhelmingly opposed this bill. They're trying to figure out why their state leadership is supporting this. So I think about another week you're going to see American Legion fall off of that.
Wow.
But nevertheless, if you go look at the 9-5 now oppose it. Five now oppose it.
So
of the nine,
the civil war you talk about is within one of these organizations in particular. It's specifically over this issue.
Yes, it's all about this issue. They're mm-hmm. wanting to know why the state leadership is running around supporting this bill, and they didn't get any input from their membership, their rank and file.
So if they've got a rank and file of, just say, Dalton, there's 100 in the group, and I don't know what the group is made up, but just throwing that out there just to clarify, just be simple about this, you've got leadership is driving the conversation in one direction, whereas the rank and file
may not feel the same
90,
way. Yeah.
90 or 80 of them are, is that a fair assessment of it, Pete?
I don't know the breakdown, but I'll tell you, their membership is somewhere statewide between 15,000 and 17,000.
Wow.
Post 199 in Fairhope is 700 alone.
Wow.
And they're opposed to it. And post 250, I think, is almost that big.
Mm-hmm. Pete, also, this is probably the most controversial bill this session. I don't know if anyone would have guessed that last year this time, this would be so controversial. But there was, talks of maybe security getting involved for the protest yesterday. Are there any other groups up there, any other bills that are this divisive, or any other groups that are also, catching pushback from the governor?
I'm not that aware. The only one I'm not really that aware of all the other ones, except I know that the pharmacy board one is there's a SB99 that I'm not real familiar with, but the pharmacy guys have been up here fighting a lot, too.
They've been protesting in support of legislation. I thought Alabama Federation of Women or something like that. But
The Alabama Federation of Republican Women are having their state conference in Montgomery right now. Matter of fact, I just had breakfast with a bunch of them that I know from all over the state when I was down there. They know what's going on, and yesterday they proposed a resolution to oppose this bill.
Wow.
They said it was a bad bill. The governor's office called them and said, you go back to the executive committee and you pull that resolution. They went back to the executive committee. They listened to all the things. And I don't want to speak on behalf of the Alabama Federation of Republican Women because I don't want them after me. But I just heard this directly from a bunch of them. They said, no, this is a bad bill. We're not pulling a resolution. So this morning, the chatter at breakfast was the governor called and disinvited the Alabama Federation of Republican Women from coming to the governor's mansion today.
Oh, my goodness.
They can't have tea with the governor.
That's amazing.
I've had one woman mad at me for a time, and that was enough. So I wouldn't want a whole coalition. Pete, trying to keep up with this has been maddening to me. I can't speak for Dalton, but it's like a winding river, and now you're here, and now here's the rapids, and now look out ahead for this, a waterfall. What impact are veterans making up there this week, you and your group, and where's this all going to...
Because the committee, they're saying they might pass it out of committee today with no amendments, and then possibly the full House next week. So on that timeline, how are things looking now?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing we can do is we're to the point now. It's we can't even really debate the bill anymore.
Yeah,
because they've dug in, and they look. I've been here before. They have decided they want to do this.
Right.
And I think there's a lot more reasons than we're talking about out there why they wanted it. And they want to do this, and now they're just trying to figure out how do we make this as least painful as possible for them in particular and us. Because they know they've got a growing number of representatives around the state that are hard-nosed because the veterans are making an impact. I'm telling you, when you call, text, and email your legislator about this, the more they hear from it, they're like, no, I'm not stepping in this. Next year's election year, I'm not stepping in this. I think Jeff Poore said it Monday that he thought it was 90-something percent this passes. Yesterday he said, I think it's 50-50, and I think we are at 50-50. Because, look, we have slowed this down. And look, let me tell you this point. If this was – if the SBVA and the ADVA were not doing their jobs and the veterans were not fully aware of what they were doing, we would never know about this legislation. We would have never heard about it. We would have never cared about it because ADVA and SBVA were unengaged and ineffective. But we would have never known. We'd have just read about it. We'd have heard you report. They passed something for the veterans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there's a backlash, the fact that they've, they basically reached out and touched our throats, and we felt it right away because those organizations work. And we're here in Montgomery. I mean, all that says it's working right now. The Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth got it right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, I know you got a busy day ahead of you again in Montgomery. We appreciate you so much coming on with us today and previously as well, and keeping us updated on this as it moves through. Thank you for coming on with us and continue the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much for letting me update everybody. I'll be back in Mobile this evening. Thanks.
You got it. There's Pete Ream. And by the way, doesn't it feel, I know it's not, like Pete said, from all across the state, veterans were there, but it feels more like a South Alabama story, maybe because maybe that's the way Montgomery's seeing it.
Well, I think maybe
because of the veteran services on Spring Hill Avenue, that's
a big
right there.
Part of it. Yeah, I think honestly, even though veterans around the state feel this way, the loudest megaphone is coming from South Alabama.
Yeah, so. Okay. And Pete himself.
That's right. The loudest man in South Alabama.
849 Dan and Dalton, FM Talk, 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Jeff Poore will have more on all of this on the Jeff Poore Show. In fact, he's in Montgomery, right?
I think so.
Okay. So we'll check in with Jeff and see what he's got lined up for show on the way.
Thanks, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. The segment brought to you by Casa Mobile, the court-appointed special advocates in Mobile County. And their mission is to transform the lives of children and youth who are caught up in the child welfare system, a local nonprofit, providing one consistent and caring volunteer who's been trained to advocate for each child's best interest. This is actually a nonprofit that Nick Saban is closely aligned with. And if you go to CASAMobile.org, CASAMobile.org, he has a really nice video on there explaining why he supports CASA. And right now, Casa Mobile urgently needs your help. They need more volunteers to reach their goal of serving every abused and neglected child in Mobile County. And one is too many. And we have more than one child who's in desperate need of some assistance. They need someone who will address that child's right to a safe, loving, and permanent home. Now, volunteer training is already underway, but maybe you feel called to doing something like this, or maybe you know someone who would be great and need something like this in their life. You can find out more by visiting CASA, CASAMobile.org. And there you can also volunteer or donate today. Looking at the text line, so Joshua says Governor Grandma is letting everybody know that she's the head. Biatch in charge. It is not a good look.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if that was FCC compliant.
I think you slid out of any penalty there.
I think that was a loophole. And Fire Dog, we were talking about the gold card. Said Fire Dog said, so let's offer the gold card to poor people who will be on the government dole the second they walk in. Said, I have no issue with making this $5 million for citizenship. Proves you really want to be here. As an aside, I have a good friend who was brought here at age 5, joined the Army at 18, and was wounded in Iraq. He earned his citizenship.
Yes, he did.
You could tell who wants it and who just wants to take advantage of the USA. Another texter, I know this thought's unpopular, but everything has a price, including your life. American citizenship has a price on it, so gold card sounds fine. It's reality. If you're poor, you do not have the health care a rich person has. Plus, for the most part, rich people are prettier. That's where Texas taking this one.
Yeah, come on over and bring your foxy wife, too.
I was thinking, you know, providing jobs.
No, that's not where you're going.
Putting money into the economy. Boy, that, a prettier.
Hot okay. Millionaire wife, like her.
And then Michael, with an article from Business Insider, countries where you can buy citizenship with a golden passport. So
there you go.
It's quite a few where you can buy your way in, right?
Okay.
Let's check in with Jeff Poor, who is in Montgomery, and another busy day on tap, including a ton of guests on the way. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So I guess Joey Clark will help get things started, but where do you go after that?
Yeah, State Senator Will Barfoot, he's the, one of the members of the State Senate from this area. We get him on from time to time. He's chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You know, crime and all that is on the agenda, so we'll hear from him. David Faulkner, he's a state lawmaker from the Birmingham area, over the mountain suburbs, I think in around Hoover, Vestavia. We'll hear from him. Steve Klaus, who was once the chairman of the State General Fund, he'll be joining us. He's from Ozark down near Dothan into Wiregrass, and then we'll close it all out with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth.
What are the tea leaves telling you about the veterans bill? We talked to Pete Ream. We heard the headlines about three veterans groups, statewide veterans groups, now backing the bill. Then Pete says one of them, the biggest one, is backed out of all that. You know, I remain totally confused by all this.
I do, too, because you hear groups or you know, one or another back and forth on these. And I just tell you, from an exorcism standpoint in this building, I said yesterday 50-50. I don't know. I guess I don't know if that rally had as big of an impact as a lot of people had hoped. I thought it would, you know. You see a lot of people, a lot of veterans, that does move the needle. But not a lot of chatter about that. Yeah. They're kind of acting. A lot of the people who are for are acting like it didn't even happen. So, I mean, that's just kind of the on-the-ground sense here.
Yeah. Interesting. Also, you know, while we're this bill, there's been a lot of noise. It's kind of drowned out a lot of the other legislation that's being passed. I know the Senate passed the Glock switch bill, I guess, yesterday. There was a competing protest for legislation, not against legislation. Pharmacists walking out yesterday as well. What's some other legislation you're keeping your eye on?
Well, like I said, there's a package of immigration bills that's one to keep an eye on. I would tell you this, back to the veterans bill, not talking about that necessarily, but watch the no votes on that in the House. That's going to be like the potential your future Freedom Caucus types. That's, you know, just look at the roll call, even if it does pass. see who votes or votes for it and votes against it, because you're really going up against leadership here. The leadership really is back in the governor's play.
So this vote will, it's more than just a vote. It's a statement, correct?
They don't know that, but that's the way I'm going to read into it.
Okay. And I have to get your take on this national story before we let you go. Gold card, $5 million to get in. Your thoughts?
I mean, what a way to pay down the debt, the deficit, right? Yeah. Why not? But you got to do away with some of the freebies and the loopholes. But if you get a set of $5 million price tag to citizenship, I mean, you want to pay $5 million to be in this country, I'm not necessarily against that.
What do you think about the $2 million to move from Mobile to Fairhope?
Kind of like that. I might sell my spot and go move back to Mobile. Spot,
right? I'm just hoping Trump doesn't ask me for $5 million to stay, because I'd be in some trouble if that came up.
I do not want to see that legislation.
Jeff, good luck. We'll be listening to you, and have a good time in Montgomery. You're as good as you can.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it, buddy. Jeff Poor Show, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Had a pretty good hour. Some of it's just yakking at each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Got some things done.
And Midday Mobile also today at noon, live from Robertsdale Power Equipment Company. So go out and see Sean. Have a good time out there. Noon today. And Mobile Mornings will be back tomorrow morning at 6.
By the way, it's near the split by the Catholic Church.
That's right.
It's right there.